I am really surprised today. It has nothing to do with these scores here at the Tour Championship at Eastlake. I am surprised that they didn't roll you up in here in a wheelchair after last night's festivities down there at Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Well, let's just say we love Mercedes-Benz, and obviously they do an amazing job. That was my first time sitting on the floor, the stadium floor, for a concert.
Yeah.
My wife's like, are you guys okay to drive? I go, yeah. Couldn't get a buzz because the line is 150 people to get a beer. And they get the pre-made cocktails. I prefer a liquor bar. But, no, I mean, had a couple of Guinness over at the Irish exit. But you really couldn't sustain any kind of level of, you know, if you were. But we had a great time. Show was great. We'll talk more about it in Guy Talk. By the way, I got speaking of beers, got a picture. Randy Mack will not drink the Ultra Puro Oro.
Why not? What's wrong with
him? He feels holding a gold can and having photographic evidence will somehow make him look bougie.
I suggest we go take a picture of him with this gold can in his
hand. Randy will not drink with a gold can in his hand. And Randy's second least favorite thing about other than being accused of being bougie is taking a photo. So I had a guy come up to me and goes, hey, can I get a picture with you? I go, ask Randy. He loves taking pictures.
Did he? Did he take it?
Yes, he did.
I love it.
We've got evidence of Randy taking the photo.
It. That's awesome. Hey, man, that's, by the way, we had one of these
yesterday.
These
are great.
Yeah, they're really
tasty
good.
Tasty beer. This is the
– It's a good beer, man. What are you talking about?
And it says organic light lager. We'll have to talk to our buddies up in Cartersville where Budweiser makes all the products. What makes this organic light lager? But I dig it.
I do, too. I thought it was good beer. We'll have to get Randy one before we get out of here. Mm-hmm. Hey, man, we're here until 5. Want to remind you that the pregame starts at 5 o'clock with Mike Johnson – and Bo Morgan today.
That's right. I'm ready to go, man. Fired up, man. Bo Morgan's ready to rock.
So
I'm ready to get it on like Donkey Kong.
Make sure you tune in for that because, again, going into this final preseason game, I'm sure they're going to have a lot to say. So that's at 5 o'clock today on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
A couple of guys hit us up on the text line. Trevor hits us up, and he goes, hey, man. He goes, I thought you were riding Penix kind of hard. He goes, I appreciate you and Carl putting a fine point on it. Yes. We did earlier talking to Bryant McFadden. We're not saying the guy can't play the position. We're not saying the guy is weak or soft. All we're saying is we want to hear a little more old school as far as the approach to when I get on the field. And that's it. And maybe that doesn't mean anything to folks who have grown up being cowed to listen specifically to doctor's orders or do whatever someone tells you to do. It's just something that was a little counterintuitive when we're talking about battling for the most important position on the field. That's it. It doesn't define him, Carl. He can miss week one and then grab the bull by the horns against Carolina, let's just say for argument's sake, and we're off and running. And then hopefully he stays healthy and they solidify the QB position.
That's the best case scenario.
That is the best case scenario.
That's the best case scenario. You're right.
It's just, I mean, sometimes I think we come from, I'm not saying that we're dinosaurs or something, but there's a toughness and an attitude we're looking for. We just weren't hearing it.
No. And that's why I was disappointed. Again, doesn't mean I'm disappointed in him as a human being. Kid's a great kid. But I'm disappointed in that desire to, they got to put me in a damn cage to not have me on the field.
Right.
That's what I want. And where he is in his career, I think that's where he is mentally because he knows he's up against it.
Right.
But he's not displaying that.
And look, you think we're being harsh? You know, social media, you know, radio shows around the country, they look at the Falcons as washed, as Penix is already washed.
They do.
Not even, we're at least giving them a chance to get in the starting gate.
Yeah.
You think we're being mean? Because they look at it outside of 285 as saying an injury-prone guy is still dealing with an injury. And that might be a problem, and that's why it's a concern about when does he get on the field and finally establishes himself. That's all we've ever talked about. You know, Tua, and by the way, nothing against Tua. If Tua can do the job, I said to you back in July, maybe Tua does really well, and if the team is in a rhythm and winning, then maybe Mike has a hard time getting on the field. But Tua hasn't done enough, I don't think, in the preseason to at least get that kind of momentum.
Then why start him? That's my question.
Well, they got to go with a guy with experience.
Okay.
Just like they've got to go with a guy with experience. It was Deshaun Watson, I guess, in Cleveland, or the boss said you had to.
But if all of that is true, and many of you believe it is, then why start him? Like, you, if you feel that way, then why would you do that to your team in week one? Give them an opportunity to feel confident about the guy that's under center. And that's the problem that I've had with the argument with Jack Frost or Cooper Rush or anybody else. Well, there's only three guys that are
right there.
But more on this coming up. We got to talk about what went on in the NFL last night and what's to come tonight as this weekend, the last weekend of preseason. It's Dukes and Bell. Let's get to 4th and 1. Now, we thought all along that the Raiders and Clint Kubiak were going to go with Kirk Cousins. It's why they signed him.
Right.
Last night, after the 49ers beat the Raiders and Fernando Mendoza throws not one, but two picks, Clint Kubiak was quiet on who QB1 is going to be.
Uh-oh.
Wait a minute.
I thought they said Kirk Cousins was going to play an entire season. They're going to let Mendoza learn. Sponge it up.
That's what
Sponge
I
it up.
He's not saying that. This was one of Mendoza's picks.
He was battered, and he led him to a national championship anyway. Over the middle, through the hands of Naylor, and intercepted. Tatum to Thune off of the pinball. And he's finally brought down by his...
Somebody.
Yeah, he had two picks in the game. He just didn't look as good as he did in, I think, preseason game number two, maybe.
Right.
But bottom line is, I don't know if Clint Kubiak's playing games, but why? This is why you sign the veteran. We don't have that issue here. It's a different dynamic. I think you brought this up. When we had Kirk Cousins, it was, well, let the rookie learn. Very similar. Our situation is different now when you look at Michael Penix. I just feel like he's playing games with that.
Yeah, I think that Kirk Cousins here was not happy about Penix. Again, it could have been Penix, could have been anyone.
Sure.
If they had drafted Bo Nix, if they had drafted J.J. McCarthy, Kirk Cousins would not have been happy because he was under the impression, he was explained to, you're going to be the starting quarterback for two, maybe 3 years. Here in Vegas, now is a different part of his career. Now you do what you're told. And if you're getting paid either way, it's not a king's ransom.
Yeah.
You know, we're paying more of his money than they are. And so, yeah, I'm curious, do you see that fans are going to want to see the young guy, as if you are the young coach in Clint Kubiak? And do you really feel that maybe this Mendoza kid, through some really high-pressure games and big, big moments in college, can handle getting his butt kicked for a couple of months in the NFL?
It's a good question.
And he learns on the job. Look, this is one of those great debates, because some guys have sat and been mentored, and some guys just jump right in. And, like, Tom Brady just jumped right in. Into a playoff race.
Yeah, and he was
and
ready.
Responded. Peyton Manning could not have looked any worse than his rookie season in Indy, but it set him up for ultimate success in his career.
No doubt. Let's hear Kevin Stefanski, because he's trying to find a sweet spot on getting the starters playing time in the preseason. What is that sweet spot for our head coach?
I do think there's something to be said for, we use the word callous, but getting your bodies ready for a season and not overdoing it either. You know, not that I've been doing this forever, but back when it was four preseason games, it was always 10 plays in the first game, first quarter in the second game, into the second quarter, maybe get a two-minute drive, and then come out of the halftime in the third game. So you'd play the first half, and you'd come out of the halftime and put a drive together in the third game, and then you wouldn't play in the fourth game. So that's how everybody always did it, and it's changed, and I know the number of preseason games has changed as well. I don't know that there's one right way or wrong way, but I do trust in having all this data available to us and make sure that we put our guys in position to be set up for success week one through week 17 and so on if you earn the plus part of that. So just tried to be very intentional about how you put the training camp together, the preseason plan together, all in an effort to get ready for what is, as we all know, a long season.
Right, and we get bits and pieces, so sometimes we don't see the whole puzzle coming together, right?
Right.
And something, and it may pertain to Michael Penix Jr. and how they've approached it. We've always, because they never said to us, you know, back in the mini camp, hey, Penix will not be ready to start the season, but we're going to have him ready for, they just, for whatever reason, they felt that would maybe create some controversy or whatever, so they didn't say that, but maybe that's been their plan all along. You know, and Tua, maybe, now here's where it gets interesting, though, has Tua done enough to earn that right to start, or does Tua really have to go out and show out in this game? Because of, now again, we're not talking about Jack Stram, but just the idea that has Tua not picked it up enough as they expect?
It's a great point, Mike. I think, you know, again, if he goes in, let's just say he's got two series and we go two scoring drives, maybe a touchdown, field goal, whatever it might be. He looks the part, throws the ball well tonight. I don't think there's any debating that he probably is the starter in Pittsburgh just because of the circumstances. Again, and I said this yesterday, guys, if Michael Penix ain't ready after 3 days of 11-on-11, you tell him he'll be ready after seven? Like, I don't know what
now
the
he's
exact,
magically fixed. He's ready.
I don't know what the timetable is on how many days of 11-on-11 do you need versus how much he's gotten in camp. Tua's gotten 3.5-4 weeks of this.
Right. So, and Tua is an inexpensive backup, an inexpensive insurance plan. Maybe there was a thought at Falcons headquarters that Penix will be ahead of schedule. You know, we'll be ready to go or not. And Tua, again, we have nothing tied to Tua. It's like, oh, my God, if they bench Tua, it's like a tree falls in the forest.
Doesn't
mean anything.
No, it won't matter.
It's always been the idea. And because he does have the experience, they would not have anybody else on the roster available if Penix can't go. Cooper Rush has been there, done that. Jack Strand's not going to start against the Steelers. It's going to be Tua. It was always going to be Tua.
Think about this, though. Cooper Rush was out there, guys. I mean, like, if you wanted to go get him earlier, you could have in the offseason, right?
Right.
I mean, like, that's part
of it. Well, for some
reason,
Trevor Siemian didn't pick up, I guess, what they were putting down.
Well, he was injured.
Right. That's no, sorry, check that. He got hurt.
Yes.
That's incorrect. He got hurt.
He got injured, and then they released him, and then they brought in Cooper Rush. Let me hear Bijan Robinson talk about Michael Penix and how he thinks he's looking in 11-on-11.
Look good. I mean, it was definitely a ramp up for him. So, I mean, it's you just take it one day at a time. And but I think he, you know, felt comfortable. I think he looked fast. Like, he told me this morning that he would get me in a race. And I'm like, Mike, chill out, bro. But it's just cool to see his confidence up and him going out there to go have fun, man.
That's good to hear from Bijan Robinson. He says he looks good, and, you know, he's just waiting for Michael Penix to get the word on when he's a full go, or at least, you know, when he's going to feel good enough, confident enough, I think, to be out there. It's Dukes and Bell. I'll say this, though, Mike, in regards to this whole situation with our offense. If Penix and when Penix plays, and let's just say Tua has a bad first game, if, in fact, he's going to start, you're then looking for Michael Penix to come in and save you. Are you not? You're looking for him to come in and be a savior. And I don't know if he's that. I don't know if that's fair. And I'm only saying this because many of you are going to say, see, Dukes, Tua wasn't any good. Here comes Michael Penix. And you're looking for him to be the savior of whatever you think this is. And, Mike, I don't know if that's a good position to be in.
Or, you know what, the bar is so low by Tua that he can come in and be the hero. I don't know. I mean, like he says, I'm not getting into week one. Stefanski says, you know, we're keeping it day to day. Good, important week for Mike. The first time with people around him. Good first step for him. But that definitely doesn't sound like he's going to be week one.
It doesn't. It doesn't sound that way.
So, again, but it like, and it's frustrating because as fans, you want to see this, you know, there's not a fan out there who goes, I'm really excited about seeing quarterback A and then quarterback B comes in. Or it's quarterback B and then eventually A starts. No, you want to have your seat. That's human nature as a fan.
Yes.
I think that's what we've been talking about. But some guys, they're so locked in for Michael Penix. And, he knows you guys love him. And he appreciates, you know, you guys having his back. But, I mean, this is an important season. If Michael Penix cannot establish himself this year, he's done. He's never going to be your quarterback, and he's never going to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. That's not hating. That's facts. That's the same thing. Same world J.J. McCarthy's living in. He might not get back on the field in Minnesota if Kyler Murray gets traction up there.
I don't think he does. I really don't. Football coverage on 92.9 The Game is presented by Xfinity. Score the most reliable Wi-Fi, one price, 5 years guaranteed. Xfinity, imagine that. Again, pregame show today at 5 o'clock with Mike Johnson
I heard it starts at 4:55.
Well, it might. Make sure you stay tuned. They're going to have you covered for this preseason game. All right, we're coming back. What is going on with these Braves? It feels like a World Series team, doesn't it? Chad Bishop from the AJC.com is going to join us next.